hey, let's grab our Bibles and head on over to Luke chapter 15. I'm going to pray and we're going to get into the Word. Father, we love you. I thank you so much for this Word and speaking to me personally, Father. And I just pray that out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth confesses, Lord, that you open up our ears and our eyes and just prepare us even now, Lord, to get the to-do list, the to-don't list, all of the stuff we got going in our life right now. And I just pray that you give us clarity of mind, Lord, so we can receive your word without weeds and tares and just plow up that rocky ground in our heart, Lord, to receive your word. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 15 kind of starts out, I was thinking about with my diet a little bit. Yes, I started dieting again. I have to because I'm just getting so fat. I can't stand it. But I'll do that. I go through the, you guys know me, I'll lose it and then I'll gain it and then I'll lose it and I'll gain it. And one of the things that I start eating because I'm dieting is sunflower seeds. Those are on my list. But recently I went and I bought those seeds that don't have any salt. Have you ever tried those? And they're stinking nasty. Right? Amen. They're totally nasty. And I was thinking about it. I should probably start cutting some salt out because, you know, you get so bloated with it. And they've got that fake salt. What's that stuff called? Mrs. Dash or whatever. It's Mrs. Dookie. It's nasty. It's like bad tasting. If it's not the real deal, it's nasty, right? And Jesus, when he comes into chapter 15, he's actually talking about the real deal of salt. That if you've got salt and it's lost its flavor, it's lost its saltiness, if it's lost all of that, then it's actually the same as Mrs. Dash or buying sodium-free sunflower seeds. It's just nasty and it's useless. But it's a picture, really, of Christians, disciples, following the Lord, and then they kind of lose their flavor. Jesus said that he wants his disciples to stay salty. In 14, chapter 14, let's just back up right before 15 in verse 34. He says, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So in other words, if the salt has lost its taste, it's of no use. Now, when salt was, you know, it's an important thing, actually, right? I mean, back in the day when Jesus was teaching this, they would actually pay their soldiers in wages and in salt. You know the word salary? You actually got that word salary from the word salt, meaning that it had to do with your payment and what you were worth and your income. Do you guys remember those old timeys back in the day, and they would say if somebody was lazy or they wouldn't work, you're not worth your, do you remember that? We don't talk like that anymore, but they would just be like, you're not worth your salt, you're lazy, why don't you get a job and do something and be productive with your life? You're not worth your salt. And so salt's a big deal. And Jesus, what he's talking about here is in, it kind of reflects Matthew chapter 5 when he said, you're the salt of the earth. Meaning, as a Christian, my purpose as salt is to keep my life pure, to maximize the goodness of the gospel so that others will come to taste the Lord and know that he is good. I had to read that because I wanted to make sure we got it. That's exactly what he's talking about. Keeping our life pure to maximize our flavor with the gospel to the people around us. Because if we compromise the pureness of the gospel inside of us, it's going to be useless to the people around us. Does that make sense? Nobody's going to want what we have in Christ, if what we have in Christ isn't flavorful, if it's got some salt to it. We want to stay salty, I guess you could say it in another way. And nothing's more embarrassing than for our unbelieving, unsaved friends to look at us and say, you're a bad testimony of Jesus. I don't ever want anybody who's not saved around me that I know to look at me and look at my life and say, you know what? You're a poor representation of Christ. There's no salt there whatsoever. See, if we've lost its flavor in us, then we're going to be useless to the people around us. And you know what? I want to reach our community, and I know you do too, but we got to be careful that we go all in with Jesus. Do you remember what he was talking about last week about counting the cost, about building and going to battle? And that's part of that issue of us staying salty, right? That we're following the Lord, that we're presenting a gospel that they want, that we've got. And Jesus is saying, but if it loses its flavor, then it's useless for nothing. Now, it's not a salvation issue. That's a productive issue, right? How many people do we know? We've got friends that are saved, and they talk about the Lord. They talk about the church. They talk about Scripture. They know a lot of verses, but their life is a hot dumpster fire. It's just a complete train wreck. That's somebody losing their salt. It's losing that flavor. And so the Lord says, hey, listen, let's stay productive and get after it. And so Jesus, he reaches the lost in verse 15:1. This is such a cool passage. And it blessed my heart so much as I was studying it this week and you guys are going to see, this is some of the most familiar stories in the Bible that you're going to see. But Jesus, when he goes into these three parables, it starts out within verse 15:1. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to hear him. They drew near to Jesus. And when it says to draw near, it was drawing near to Jesus to follow him. And they knew that when they were going to follow Jesus, that they had to leave everything else. Last week, again, he was telling them, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to follow after me, it's not going to cost you something, it's going to cost you everything. You remember he was talking about, unless you hate your mom, unless you hate your dad, unless you hate your cats, right? It's just, you got to, in comparison to love for everybody else, there's a love for me that needs to supersede everything else to where anything else you love, it looks like hate. Now, of course, God doesn't want us to hate people because he's told us to love. And if we have not love, then we don't know God. But he's making a comparison. And he's telling his disciples and these sinners to go all in. So in order for Jesus to attract the sinners, when we look at this in chapter 15, he didn't have to compromise the truth. He just had to give it to them. Now, this is so important when we're witnessing to people or we're talking with people about the Lord. There's two ways to get people into a connection with God. Number one, the bait and switch way. And that's where you don't question their lives. You know, you act like you accept their lifestyle. You act like you agree with their lifestyle. You act like there's no problem with God in their lifestyle. And then if I do that and I get them into the house of God, I'll let Jason have it. And then he can teach them the other stuff that God's not stoked about any of it. Well, the bait and switch doesn't work. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Like, don't talk about anything controversial with the Lord. Just kind of make it all good and then they'll get in. But bait and switch doesn't work. Because if you've got to work to get somebody in here, you're going to have to work to keep them here. And so what does Jesus do when he's talking to the sinners and it says that they're drawing into him? He's giving them the truth. He's not compromising it. And that's what we need to remember. We don't want to go bait and switch, but we do want to give the truth. And we want to give the truth just like Jesus did in love. Right? And so we want to speak the truth in love. We don't want to go bait and switch. I've got a friend that I was talking to this week, and he was telling me about how he's walked away from the Lord. And I hate those conversations, but he had grown up Baptist, and now he's atheist. And he's like, you know, I've been reading the Word a lot, though, lately, because it's got a lot of good principles. And the one thing I didn't do to him, and this guy's a hot mess. I mean, he's wrapped up into all kinds of stuff. The one thing I did not do to him is beat him in the head with everything he was doing everything he had done, everything he wanted to do that he hadn't done yet, and just go on and on and on and on and on and on and beat him over the head with that stuff. Instead, what I did is I pointed to the scripture in love, and I told him, I said, listen, you're going to the Word of God because you think there's a lot of good principles in there. And there is. He's looking at it like a Reader's Digest. Like, if I just follow, you know, Oprah's, you know, January mail out, then it's going to be good. And he's looking at the scriptures like that. And I just told him, I said, man, listen, this is what Jesus says. You search the scripture because in them you think there is life, but they point to me. I said, my friend, you don't need principles. You need Jesus. Because this lifestyle and what you're getting into and all this stuff that you're doing, don't think that you can go to scripture and all this stuff is just going to magically work together apart from Christ. You need the Lord. Now, I didn't go off on them. I just simply shared the good news. I shared the gospel with them. That life is more than just practical principles. Life is Jesus, right? And so I told him, listen, just turn your, just, man. And you know, we got to remember that we want to speak the truth in love. You know, sinners drew near to Jesus not because he compromised the truth, but because he just simply gave it. So the sinners, they're drawing into Jesus. And what's kind of cool is that that they're drawing in, and Jesus gave them the straight up truth. Now, a lot of people could have walked away at this point. But you know who's having a problem with the truth is the religious people. The sinners are loving it. And they're coming into to hear more. And you know what's cool about this next section is that we see Jesus totally stoked to hang out with them. Now, every time I talk to somebody and they say to me, Jace, I invite them to church, and they say, you don't want me to go into that church because if I go in there, the roof's going to cave in. But I always think of this particular section right here where Jesus not only loves sinners, but he goes after them. And if they could only know the love and the favor that God has for them. Yes, even in the midst of their shame, their sin, their regret, their decisions, all of that stuff. That there is so much love for them that God doesn't forget them, but he goes after them. And that's the parables that we're going to see here this morning that Jesus talks to these religious people about. We're going to call this section here Lost and Found. Because that's what it's about. You know, when I lose stuff, I get anxious, and it gets me nervous. And that's why, if you were to ask Vicky, where does Jason park when he goes to Walmart? I park in the same section in Walmart because I lose my car so much. I will park in Walmart, and you can ask Vicky. She'll tell you the exact spot. If it's not that spot, I'll park right next to that spot. But I always park over at the West End, on that side of Walmart, because I know for a fact that when I go to Walmart and I come out, there's no way I'm going to lose my car. Because what happens when I lose my car, I feel people are watching me and they know I've lost my car. And then what happens is I start freaking out because I know they know I lost my car. And then I'm like, well, should I just go back into the store and act like I forgot something and just regroup and then come back out and then find my car? And so I learned that not only do I park in the same place every single time, but then I learned a new trick, and that's with my keychain, that I sound the alarm when I'm lost. So I hear my car going, boop, 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 right? Because I'm walking around. I know it's in that section. And Vicky will know, too. Like, I'll walk in front of Vicky, and she'll ask me, Jason, you lost the car again, didn't you? And I'm like, no. And then I'm hitting the alarm, right? And I'm like, I know right where the car is. It's over there. And she's like, is that our alarm going off? I'm like, nope, right? But that's how I get to the cars, because I've got all these things that I got set up, because when I lose the car, I get anxious and I start freaking out because the car is important to me. I live in Elk City. I can't walk home, and I'm not going to take the bus. So I got to find my car because it's important. But you know what's important to the Lord when it's lost? It's not things, it's people. And this section right here, we're going to see how important they are to the Lord, even when they're lost. In fact, These are the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And all of these stories of God's love are for people that should be going one way in their life, and they're going another. We all should be going one way, right? But sometimes we get mixed up and we go another way too. And so in verse 15, chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus responds to the Pharisees for judging him over sinners coming to him. And he says, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and he eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, and so the Pharisees said that this man receives sinners and he eats with them. And it was at that moment I was like, I sure hope so. Because I'm one of those people that needs to be eaten with Jesus. Now, the thing about them having a problem with Jesus, it wasn't teaching them. Did you notice that? Oh, he's teaching these sinners. Because righteous people always want to tell you what you should be doing, what you shouldn't be doing. Don't do this, don't do that. They're great at that. Do you know anybody like that? They can just tell you how to live your life so much better than you're living it. So there wasn't a problem with them telling people how to live. The problem was he was eating with them. And when you ate with somebody back then, you would share a meal. And when you're sharing that meal, you're actually, like Guy was teaching a couple weeks ago, you're actually dipping in the same bowl. You're eating the same loaf of bread. COVID wasn't a big deal. Nobody's washing their hands. And it's filthy and it's kind of nasty. It's a little odd. But what the whole point of it is that you're partaking of the same thing everybody's taking. And so in a sense, check this out, you're one with them. That's why when we go out to dinner and we're hanging out, you know, with our friends and family, it's so enjoyable because we're like connected in a way that food just connects us, right? And so when we're taking communion, that's why we come in together in the same body as one in Christ. And so what they had a problem with is that Jesus was becoming one with sinners. And it was making them trip out. They were getting all caught up on it, and they had a problem with it. And Luke tells us that they were complaining about it to Jesus because there was two types of people, the unclean and then the righteous, and there was no in between. And so in this group, Jesus is hanging out, it says, with sinners and tax collectors. Now, whenever you see that word tax collector, it's in a different category than sinner. It's kind of like your crazy friend that you used to go out with on Friday night. You know how you got two friends? You got one friend that's sort of crazy, right? They can be kind of fun sometimes. They're not all that rowdy. But then you got this other friend that when they go out, they go crazy. Like you don't know if you're going to end up in the newspaper the next day type of stuff, right? With this one. This one is crazy. This is the one that the, you know, they don't let into certain bars or restaurants because that friend, anybody got that friend that's not kind of crazy, but just super crazy? Is that Dave? Who is it? It's the one that's just, hey, they're going to go all the way, right? They're going to roll it all the way. And so the tax collector was the friend, it was the sinners, that were totally crazy off the rails. These guys, nobody wanted to hang out with these guys except for crazy guys like these guys. They were corrupt. They were wealthy. They had a lot of locker room talk. If their mom owed $500 in taxes, they would make sure to sit her down and pay $1,000. I mean, these guys were called, they were called like one step below a child molester. These guys are nasty, gnarly people. So bad, remember that. When you look in the scripture, it doesn't just say sinner, it says sinner and tax collector. And so Jesus is hanging out with like the worst of the worst. And I started looking at that and I started thinking about how Jesus really wants us to hate the sin, but love the sinner, doesn't he? He didn't condone their life. He didn't say it was acceptable and he didn't support it. And I got to remember that sometimes, you know, when I talk to people about the Lord, that my antennas go up and I'm trying to find a way that I can connect with people and not condone their sin, but to love them as a sinner. And I don't know, I was talking to this other guy this week and he was going in a different direction and just all kinds of issues going on in his life. And he's back to doing dope. He's sleeping around. He's watching porn. He's doing all this stuff. And again, I just shared with this guy the gospel. You know, kind of like we're looking at here. That the Lord loves you. And he wants to meet you right where you're at and change your life. Just shared the gospel with them. And again, he's not a believer at all. And I just gave him the gospel. And he said, you know what, Jason? He said a couple days later, he says, I just want to thank you because you didn't try to close the deal on me like a used car salesman closing a deal on a car. He goes, you know how pastors do, right? And I'm like, well, I guess, you know, I know what you're talking about, but he says, you know, and now I'm reading the word more, I'm starting to pray, and I was like, right on, that is so cool, because my job was not, again, to list off everything that's messed up in his life, but to come alongside of him and say, hey, listen, there's a better way, and there's a God who loves you. No matter what you've done, he still loves you. And you know what? Jesus, that's not me condoning somebody's sin. And you got to be careful. You know, we want to make sure that we love the sinner and we don't condone the sin. And you got to be careful too. And that's a word for somebody that has friends that you want to reach that might be doing dope, might be going off the rails with booze, and God brought you out of that. And your thought is, well, I'm going to go back into there because God brought me out of it, and so I can go and save everybody there where I was at. You better be careful. Because if you remember about Lot, you remember how he moved a little closer to Sodom and a little closer to Sodom, and then the next thing you know, Lot was in the middle of Sodom. And you got to be careful about that stuff. But one thing that we can do for sure is we can love the sinner and hate the sin. And that's what Jesus is doing. He's hanging out with the sinners because he loves them. And so the Pharisees, the Lord needs to draw them a picture here in this last section about how God sees people who have gone in the opposite direction, who have just given their life over to sin and a crazy lifestyle. Because you remember, there is two types of people, the righteous and then everybody else. And so Jesus is like, pull up a chair, get your helmet on, because I want to tell you a story about how God sees those people. And he says in verse 14, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he does not lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which he lost until he finds it? And when he found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, and he says to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. And I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. And Jesus is being sarcastic. Needs no repentance? Who doesn't need to repent? These guys. That was their thought process. I'm good. I've got nothing going on in my life like they got going on in their life. I don't need to repent. And Jesus says, he's being sarcastic when he says that there's more joy over one person than 99 who doesn't need to repent. And so Jesus asked him a question. If you lose your sheep, will you not go after it? And what I love about this scripture, you guys, is that all throughout the Bible, we see the Lord as a shepherd. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And in Isaiah chapter 40, it says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. And in Isaiah 53, it says, we like sheep have all gone astray. And then there's the most famous one of David, Psalm 23, when it started out, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. If you think about it for a second, when David said, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want, that means that God provides for us like a shepherd everything that we need. He takes care of us. He leads us. He provides for us. And it's not until we can say, the Lord is my shepherd, that we can then say, I shall not want. Because the reality of it is when we get in those seasons of want, of desire, the reality of it is because we have left the shepherd. See, if we can't say, the Lord is my shepherd, then we can't say, I shall not want. I mean, think about it. Look over your life for just a second. And I'm sure you'll agree with me that if you look back and you look at the times that you were looking to shop online for the next new thing, you're binge watching everything on Hulu, you know, you're getting, like, you're just thinking about the next thing that you can totally think about and give all your time to. Those are the times in your life, if you look back, you hadn't been the most satisfied. You were the most thirsty. Looking after, desiring, want. It's got to be better over here. It's got to be better over there. And the reality of it is that's that craving shows us that we left the shepherd. Because if we say we have a shepherd and we're all in with the Lord, then we'll live a life where it says, I shall not want. And I love that. Because it doesn't matter what happens if you miss the sale on Amazon, if you don't hit the PR in the gym, if you don't get the car you want, if you lose your job, whatever the case may be. If you're in a season of I shall not want, none of this other stuff matters. None of it matters. But go back and just look at your life and do a self-check after the things you've been running to. It's because you're running away from the shepherd. And so David's like, man, I shall not want. I shall not want. The Lord's leading me, I'm good. He's providing for me, I'm good. He's comforting me, I'm good. And there's no other place, you guys. And I know, and I don't need to beat this down, but you know that when you're so consumed with the Lord and you're following him, there's no other place to be. Life is so good. It's so right. And it's like, not only that, everything changes. Everything. Man, people just, I mean, with sin, forgiveness, yes. But think about their lives. They go from prison to owning businesses. They go from being crazy, off the rails, to having great jobs, great families, great husbands, a great life with their kids, whatever. Because they're all in with the Lord. Life is never going to be worse when you're next to the shepherd. And you'll always say, and you'll always know, as well. When you're in that season of want, you need to just do a check and just say, hey, where's my priorities been lately? Have I been with the Lord? Have I been given other things, my devotion, my time, my thoughts, my interest, my efforts? But if we flip the switch, there's no want. There's zero want when we've got the Lord as our shepherd. And so Jesus, he gives them the answer when one sheep goes wandering. He says, and you go after it until you find it. Why is, you know, what I thought was kind of funny when I was reading this is, why is the Lord comparing us to sheep? I mean, why not monkeys? Why didn't he say, like, you're my monkeys and I'm your trainer? Because monkeys are kind of intelligent, actually. Sheep are you don't even see them in the circus. You know why? They can't be trained. They don't listen. There's no smart sheep. And if you're right now, you're sitting there wondering, Jason, are you saying that the Lord's comparing me to a sheep because I'm not all that bright? I don't know. Let's let the Lord defend himself. But I would say you're right on track. Yeah. And you know what? As sheep, we kind of have a tendency to wander, don't we? I mean, even now, some of you are thinking about lunch or the sale at Fred Meyer's or what's on TV as soon as you get home. Like, right, you know, am I going to hit the gym again? How much longer is Jason going to go? You're already there. It's so simple and so easy as sheep that we start to wander. You know, I was thinking about just with devotions in the morning. You can set a time, get up, and then you got your phone right there. You know, the first day it's great, you're in your word. Next day, oh, you see a little notification on your phone. Somebody liked your cat picture on Instagram. You're like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then the next day, you get a message, a messenger while you're doing your devotions. And then you're checking your messages. Next thing you know, you're like wondering what's going on the news and TV. Next thing you know, it's 3 months later and you're not even doing devotions anymore. You've gone in the total wrong opposite direction. And it happened so fast you didn't even realize it. And what Jesus is saying is like, yeah, as sheep, we have a tendency to wander and it happens super easy. And before we know it, we're going in a totally different direction. And so in Isaiah 53, verse 6, it says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. But what's the good shepherd do? It says he goes after us until he finds us. Worship team, come on up. We're gonna close up on this section here. It says that he goes after us until he finds us. There's no place the Lord won't go to find us. You know, last night, Vicky, we went to the store and she bought all this stuff. And I said, listen, I need you to get me my chopped up vegetables because I'm doing this diet thing. And so she went into Walmart and I just waited for her. And she comes out. We go home. I put everything away and I go to cook dinner. And I can't find the chopped up vegetables. And so I asked her, I said, you know, I told you I needed those vegetables really bad. And she goes, Jason, I bought those vegetables. You just need to open your eyes and look. They're in there. And so I didn't like getting talked to like a four-year-old. So I started looking around really hard, and I'm like, they're not in there. And she goes, well, they must have just fell out in the back of the car. Maybe go back there and check. And I said, okay. So I go back there, and I'm looking, and I can't find nothing. So I go back into the house, and I said, listen, I know you said you bought these things, and I know you're not a liar. So the thing is everywhere you're telling me to look, they're not around. And she goes, Jason, so help me God, if I got to get up and go find those vegetables, you're a dead man. And so I kind of started laughing. I'm like, okay, all right. She goes, I better not find these vegetables. So she goes out to the car, and while she's out there, I'm praying, God, don't let her find these vegetables. Don't let her find these vegetables, because when she finds these vegetables, I'm going to be a dead man, right? And I hear her shut that car door hard, and I thought, man, she found them, and I'm in trouble now, because they were in there like she had said. Well, she comes in there, and she's just like, Jason, I don't know where they're at. I have no idea. And when she said that to me, I started thinking about how when we lose things and we can't find them, how amazing it is with God when we're gone, he knows exactly where we're at. The Lord will show up. You know, he just doesn't hang out in the church. You know that, right? He's at the bar. He's at the crack house. He's at the porn store. He's at the liquor store. The Lord just doesn't hang out in one place. And he knows exactly where to go. And it says that as the story goes on, it says that when he finds the sheep, he picks the sheep up and he puts it on his shoulders and he takes it back to where it's got to go. It didn't say he beat that sheep all the way back and he didn't give it a lecture all the way back, because we have a tendency to do that, don't we? We have a tendency to tell people, I told you so. You said you weren't going to let this happen. You said you weren't going to do this again. You said you weren't going to go that way. Well, check this out. Here's your consequence. And you're just like all the way back hearing this wah, 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 wah of everything you've done wrong and everything that you shouldn't have done. It's like when my dog, she runs up to the road. I've got a collar on her, and she's crafty. It's a shock collar. She knows she's not to go up there. But somehow that dog knows right where the hole in the fence is. And I'll see her waddling up to the road, and I've got to run, and I'm almost 50, and I'm fat, and this dog is quick. And so I got to run up there and get that dog from the road. And on the way back, I'm not thinking about rejoicing over this dog. Like, I'm not telling her how much I love her, and I'm so glad she didn't go out in the street. I'm like, man, one of these days, I'm going to let you just go out into the road because you never listen. But what the Lord shows us is he doesn't do that. Even when we've wandered intentionally, he doesn't grab us and beat us all the way back to where we got to be. It says he puts us on the shoulder and he rejoices. And here's what I want you to remember about it when we close this out. Is that God doesn't forget about sinners. He goes after them. He doesn't forget about them. And as we close out this morning, the reason why that spoke to me so personally is because there's people in my life that have gone the total opposite direction that I love, that I care about, that I've tried to witness to. Some of you have children that you raised in the Lord, you gave them the word, you prayed over them, you were an example to them, you did everything that you could do, and it seems like whatever you did wasn't good enough, and now they're going in an opposite direction, and you're looking at them and you're just going, oh Lord, did you forget? That's a word for you today. God wanted me to tell you that he hasn't forgot about the sinner. He goes after him. He's pursuing him. No matter how far they seem gone, God's going after them because he doesn't forget them. He goes after them. Or maybe too, maybe we're the one that's wandered away. And you're in that place right now, like that wayward sheep. You've gone into grass, other pastures that you thought were going to be greener and better. And you went that way. And before you knew it, it happened so suddenly. And you ended up in a place where all you knew was, I'm not supposed to be here. You know what? You need to turn your life over right now to the shepherd and just say, Lord, you're my shepherd. I shall not want. And connect with the Lord right now like you've never done before. We just lay it all out and you go all in. And for those of us that have done that and we're like, man, there's just some days I can't go it alone. I need to be on the back of Jesus. How many of you need to be on the back of Jesus where he's just carrying you back? Over every hill, over every valley, over every rocky terrain. God, you got to do it for me this time because I can't do it. Man, the Lord is good. He wants to get us back to where we need to be. So would you guys stand with me? Let's close out in worship and communion. And I want to just extend this offer to whoever's watching online or you guys here today that if you've been praying over somebody that you love, whether it's your grown-up children, or maybe this is a verse that you need to remember from when your children grow up, the Lord hasn't forgotten, he's going after them. And if that's the case, and it is, then you know what we want to do, church? We want to partner with the Lord going after the lost, amen? Because check this out, the very child, the very friend, the very person you love that's gone crazy in the other direction that you've been praying, Lord, I need you to find them. I need you to find them. You know how the Lord's going to do that? He's going to put the church in their life somewhere. He's going to put another believer. They may be living across the United States or across the country or whatever. God's going to put somebody in their path. Because he doesn't forget sinners. He goes after them and he uses the church to do it. Now listen, if that's the case for somebody you love that he'll do for you, why don't we want to be that person that God will use so he can do it for somebody else? The person you see at Starbucks at the corner, at Shell, whoever's at your work or job, guess what? That's somebody's kid. That's somebody's friend. That somebody has been getting prayed over. And the Lord's been going after him, and he wants to use you to get him. And I want to encourage you. We want to be open, right? We want to be open like we were talking about. We don't want to love the sin, but we want to love the sinners. And so, Father, we thank you that you've come after us, Lord. As your word said, there's much rejoicing, much more rejoicing over the one sinner that turns and repents than over the 99 righteous who need not repent. But Lord, we know we all need to repent, Lord. We all need to turn our face back to you. And that joy would be restored in us, Father. Lord, that we would return to be the salt of this earth, Lord. Live in a pure life, holy before you and before the people around us, God, that we don't lose our flavor. Lord, because if we've lost the flavor inside of us, it's going to be useless to anybody around us. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us of those things that we've done that may have compromised that flavor, Lord. I pray that we leave here today forgiven, encouraged, knowing that you never give up on us, Father. There's no guilt that can separate us. There's no shame that can separate us. There's no sin that can separate us. We've gone far enough for you not to be able to find us, Lord. And we thank you for that, Jesus. In your name, the church says,